had a very nice Gaur Purnima yesterday. You were in Manhattan?
Yeah, we after our program ended, we went to the Manhattan program a little bit late, but we experienced, we were there for about 2.5 hours, so it was really nice.
Really nice here, too. Rambhat really knows how to throw a party, right?
I'm sorry we missed you.
It was really good. Kirtan, presentation, fantastic drama, great prasadam, late night, sadhana buster, but fantastic program. So this is the morning after Gaur Purnima, so it still let us meditate on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu together. I thought of doing something where we'll take one of the key verses from Adi Leela and go there a little bit. I'll speak something, and then I'll ask volunteers to speak something in glorification of Lord Chaitanya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So I'm going to read one verse that's found in Chaitanya Charitamrita three times. And the first place it's found is Adi Leela, chapter 1, text number 4. The introductory verses of Adi Leela are set in place by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as like the major themes of Adi Leela, describing who is Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Nityananda, who are the spiritual masters, and different key verses that set the theme. Then he goes back, takes those verses, and then develops them. And they're thematic throughout the whole of Chaitanya Charitamrita. They appear several times. So the first one, or the one for this morning, is drawn from Rupa Goswami in his Vidagdha Madhava in the Mangalacharana verses at the beginning of Vidagdha Madhava, where he's offering his obeisances to his worshipable deity, his Ishtadev. This is classic form of literary composition. Before you begin the composition, you honor the Supreme Lord and your worshipable deity. And his worshipable deity is Lord Chaitanya. The topic that he wants to describe in Vidagdha Madhava is Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. But to understand the pastimes of Krishna anywhere, it's through the agency of Lord Chaitanya. And so he begins like this. I'll just recite the Sanskrit, read the translation and purport. Anarpita chanim chayat karunaya vitirna kalau samarpayatyam anot jvala rasam subhakti shriyam hari purata sundara dhyuti kadamba sandipitaha sadahridaya kandare spurato va sachi nandana. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. That's a benediction. May that happen. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in the age of Kali, by his causeless mercy, to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. There was a godbrother of mine and I together who distributed books for Srila Prabhupada for a long time, like years together. And there were a few verses that we would recite aloud together before we began our book distribution. This was one of them. Not the Sanskrit, but the translation, as a meditation on both receiving this benediction from Rupa Goswami and speaking it on behalf of those who we would meet, because we're simply instruments of Lord Chaitanya's mission, his mercy. So it's double, receiving and giving, or being an instrument to, on behalf of Lord Chaitanya, to give. Just as is Rupa Goswami. What does one individual, a small jiva, have as the capacity to make such a benediction? It's just being an instrument of Lord Chaitanya. I'll read it again, so nice. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse, Vidagdha Madhava 1:2, so it's the second verse in the whole of Vidagdha Madhava, also appears in Adi Lila twice, in the Adi Lila chapter 1 and Adi Lila chapter 3. I'm reading from Anchi Lila chapter 1. In his commentary on Vidagdha Madhava, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Mahaprabho Spurtim Vina Hari Lila Rasa Vastadana Papater Iti Bhavaha. Without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot describe the pastimes of the personality of Godhead. Meaning, Rupa Goswami is invoking Lord Chaitanya's mercy so that he can describe the topic he wants to describe, Krishna. Same as Jiva Goswami does in his Sandarbhas. He wants to speak about Krishna. So before speaking about Krishna, he invokes the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And boy, did he receive it, because his descriptions of Krishna are so wonderful, as Rupa Goswami's. Therefore, Rupa Goswami said, Va Yushmaka Hridaya Rupa Guhayam Sachi Nandana Hari Pakshe Simha Spuratu. Or translation, may Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is exactly like a lion that kills all the elephants of desire, be awakened within everyone's heart. For by his merciful blessings, one can understand the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. End of purport. Just like in the presence of the sun, all darkness is dispelled. Or sometimes Prabhupada would say, at night, the rakshasas and the hobgoblins and ghosts and the robbers and thieves and dacoits and all the night creatures are very active. But when the sun rises, not only the darkness is dispelled, but all those witches and, you know, wicked creatures, they're also dispelled. And those, Rupa Goswami describes this in Nectar of Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that these tendencies of wickedness within our own heart, wickedness even meaning, you know, acting averse to the interest of Krishna deliberately, that's a wickedness. That's dispelled by Lord Chaitanya's mercy and the process of bhakti. And he's deliverer of the process of bhakti. So, by his association and his remembrance of him, we can have strength that otherwise we don't have. And by his strength, the impurities are removed, and by his mercy, the awakening of our dormant loving propensity for Krishna up to the stage of Madhurya Rasa. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description that says that there are some external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance and some internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. The internal reasons have to do with his wanting, like we saw in the drama last night, that little, that initial scene that was with Rukmini speaking to Krishna. It's directly taken from Lochan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Mangala. Rewritten a little bit. But, you know, the essence is there, where in this case it was Rukmini expressing to Krishna her desire, completely non-envious position, her desire to see Krishna experience the love of Radha, because she sees in her beloved husband such love for Radha. She's not envious. Oh, why do you love Radha so much? You have such love for Radha. I know that you hanker to experience her happiness and her love. You can't, although you're the Supreme Lord. I hanker for that opportunity where you can experience her love, and I know how you can do it. Take on her mood. Become the lover of yourself in the mood of Radha. Appear and do that. And Krishna reply, his reply is, the words that you've spoken, I don't understand. They're very attractive to my mind. Can you say it again? Can you describe it again and again? I'm very attracted. And so she says it again. There is nothing that you cannot do. You're the Supreme Lord. You're the attractive, all attractive. You're Krishna. You're all attractive. And you attract the hearts of everyone, but the love that Radha has for you is extremely exalted, and you hanker to experience that love that she has for you. And there's a way to accomplish that. Appear. Yourself. In the mood of Radha, I long to see that happen so that you will be happy. Fulfill your desire. This is Rukmini. She just wants the happiness of Krishna. However, whatever. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As he was tasting that love for Krishna that Radha has, he was distributing it. He was not just distributing the means to, like, neutralize suffering. That's there. But that's not the gift, neutralizing of suffering. Where I'm going to go with this discussion is, I'm going to give some examples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divinity, because, and then I'm going to invite you to volunteer some examples from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Because to understand the divinity of someone, or the supreme someone, is there are symptoms by which one who is exhibiting his presence as the personality of Godhead exhibits by symptoms and by scriptural authority and by confirmation of great sadhus as they accept that lends weight, just like Arjuna's accepting of Krishna as the personality of Godhead, but he invokes, it's not just me. Someone may say, I'm your friend, so I'm just glorifying my friend. But great learned personalities, they've accepted you in this way too. So these three, by symptoms, by scriptural authority, and by confirmation of great sadhus. Ultimately, those great sadhus, they have, we discussed this yesterday, but they have that capacity because they, in turn, have received Lord Chaitanya's mercy, or one who has received Lord Chaitanya's mercy. As in the case of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who received the mercy of his brother-in-law, Gopinath Acharya, and became delivered, and became strong in his, along with his scriptural strength and his intellectual strength, a very strong, convinced, and convincing devotee of Lord Chaitanya. In symptoms, so I'm going to give some of the pastimes of Krishna, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he exhibited symptoms of divinity, and combined with those symptoms of divinity, his gift of Krishna Prema. Because within different religions of the world, there are examples where religions are built around miracle cures. Someone does a miracle cure and then must be God. Or another, just defying natural laws, the parting of the Red Sea, like in the Old Testament, some divinity of some personality. So something that's mystical or defying material laws, the exhibition of some mystic power that's extraordinary. So, just as Krishna showed that divinity by lifting Govardhan Hill, and so someone can say mythology. Krishna's exhibiting the Virat Rupa. This is from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna showed this Virat Rupa, in part, Prabhupada explains, so that in future generations, Arjuna asked him to show this, so that in future generations, someone claims that they are God. Very well, can you show me your Virat Rupa? And Krishna did that for Arjuna. And the conclusion of Arjuna was the divinity of Krishna. So in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divinity, he will start with this exhibiting the transcendental quality of invoking love of God within the heart of others. We'll start with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South India tour when he was traveling from Jagannath Puri heading to the holy places within South India. The description is that through the whole duration of his travel, he was in such a state of ecstasy that when people along the roadway that saw him, they came, and just by seeing him in that ecstatic state, they didn't just become happy, they became filled with ecstatic love. Just by seeing him, there's this description in the scriptures that the Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama positions. The Kanishta position is one doesn't have a proper understanding of who is a devotee, who is a not devotee, who is elevated in devotion, who is not. By some sentiment there's some idea, but a misconception. And primarily prayer and worship and the fundamental rituals of that religious practice, and that's the beginning stage. In the intermediate stage, or Madhyama position, one is engaged in acts of compassion, not just on compassion upon the body, but compassion upon the soul, and elevating souls to the spiritual position. And the Uttama, or topmost position of devotion, is just by seeing that person, just by seeing that person, one awakens their transcendental love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting like that. And they would come forward and they would see him chanting, and so he would raise his arms and request them, please chant. And they would chant, and when they would chant in ecstatic love. Not just imitate, but chant in ecstatic love. And then he would go and embrace them. And when he embraced them, their whole body became erupted with symptoms of ecstasy. And they wanted to just keep going with him, and he would send them back to their village and say, you induce others like this. That is my request. And they, going back to their villages, just by others seeing them, they would experience ecstatic love for Krishna and begin chanting, just by seeing them. You know, the same people that were in their village otherwise, previously. And then those persons became filled with ecstatic love, and they went to their places of residences, and similarly, like multi-level marketing or something. The process of devotional service, the ecstatic love for Krishna, was just being distributed widely throughout the whole of countryside. And similarly, earlier in his Leela, at the house of Srivas Thakur, the devotees were having kirtan at night. And there was a rule. Only devotees. Later it became anybody, but initially it was only devotees because Lord Chaitanya was in a certain mood of ecstatic love, and that mood of ecstatic love would be diminished or limited. He would conceal it in the presence of non-devotees because they wouldn't understand. And so the gate was locked, big tall wall, and no one was allowed inside other than those that were qualified for intimate association. And so the people outside that were locked out, they're envious. How come we're locked out? And so they started criticizing those that were inside. You know how it goes. And so one of the things that they did to strike fear in the hearts of the residents of Navadvip, they started a rumor. These things go on in the world. So the rumor was, the king has heard, the Muslim king has heard that this outrageous uproar of tumultuous sound of calling God's name is taking place here in Navadvip. The king is sending boatloads of soldiers to come and destroy the whole of Navadvip. Just because of this Srivas Thakur, we should take the house of Srivas Thakur and break into little pieces and throw it in the Ganga before he destroys the whole of Navadvip. And it was going around. And it came to the audition of the person they were speaking with. It always works like that. When you speak about a person, know that it goes back to the person. Both, you know, positive, negative. So it went to Srivas. And Srivas became very concerned, not for himself, but for the devotees, that the devotees would be put in trouble, difficulty. Assuming it was true. And so his heart was very troubled. And in that condition, it was difficult to concentrate on his devotional practices. You know what it's like when you're trying to chant and you're worried about some calamity. And so he was doing his puja. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being omniscient, he knew exactly what was the heart of Srivas Thakur. And it was early in the morning, so he was walking along the side of the Ganga, and he saw on the opposite side of the Ganga some cows just grazing very gently. And he thought of Vrindavan. So in the mood of thinking of Vrindavan, he became in the mood of a cowherd boy, Krishna. And like the wind, he began running for the house of Srivas Thakur. His deities were off the altar because he was worshipping them. And Lord Chaitanya came right into the altar of Srivas Thakur and sat on the altar. And Srivas Thakur saw Lord Chaitanya sitting on his altar and said, "My Lord, what are you doing?" And he said, "Srivas, I know that you have big anxiety in your heart. You've heard that the military of the king are coming by boat here to destroy Navadvip. Srivas, listen to me. That king can do nothing. I will get on that boat and go with the king and go right into his court and challenge the king. You bring all of your mullahs and whatever all the names are, the learned personalities in your kingdom, and you take one learned priestly person and induce them to the stage of love of God. I defy you to do that. And he will not be able to do it. And then I'll tell him, bring wild animals from the jungles and from the forests and bring them here, and I will induce them to the stage of ecstatic love of God. Srivas, don't doubt me. Bring your niece Narayani." So he brought his niece Narayani and said, "Narayani, chant in ecstatic love." Tears were streaming from her eyes and crying in love of God. "Krishna, Krishna." Srivas Thakur just fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet and said, "I believe everything is all right. The king isn't, even if the king comes, you'll take care of it. My fears, my anxieties, my doubts, my worries are all gone. I accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And this Narayani, in course of time, became a very special object of Lord Chaitanya's affection and mercy. From his own plate, he would regularly give her remnants of his food and instruct her and inspire her. And later, after Lord Chaitanya left taking sannyas, she moved to Mamgachi, a place where Vrindavan Das Thakur, her son, was born. And this Vrindavan Das Thakur became the principal biographer of Lord Chaitanya's life. Or miracles, the miracle cure syndrome, where, again, you know, religions are based upon the divinity of someone because they can do these things. There's several of those. You know, several religions could be built on Lord Chaitanya's activity. But that's the essence of our faith in Lord Chaitanya, is not being able to cure people's diseases. But he was able to cure people's diseases without, just at will. One of the primary ones that's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita is Vasudev, the Brahmana at Kurmakshetra, and he had leprosy that was so severe that there were worms eating away at his body. And he heard that Lord Chaitanya was in Kurukshetra. And so he went early in the morning the next day after Lord Chaitanya was there, but Lord Chaitanya had already left. And so he heard from Kurma the Brahmin, and he is Vasudeva the Brahmin, about the exchange between Kurma and Lord Chaitanya. And he was feeling greatly unfortunate that he did not have the opportunity to get Lord Chaitanya's association, because he had from Kurma the Brahmin great appreciation of Lord Chaitanya's divinity. So Lord Chaitanya had gone a long distance in the early, early morning, but he did a U-turn and came right back, just and came right before Vasudeva. And in the presence of Vasudeva, he warmly embraced him. And just as he embraced Vasudeva, all this leprosy in his body instantly was gone. And the first thought of Vasudeva wasn't, "Yay, my disease is over." His first thought was, "Oh no, I may now become proud that I'm the recipient of some special mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please protect my heart from pride, because pride can destroy everything. By your mercy only, may this pride not overcome me." Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with this mood of Vasudeva. So later, one of the names of Lord Chaitanya, he became known as Vasudeva Amrita Prada, or the giver of nectar to Vasudeva. And the gift of nectar to Vasudeva was not just a nice body, free from a nasty disease. The Amrita was, he awakened in Vasudeva's heart. He was already very elevated, but he awakened love of God to the highest degree by his association. And another very nice example is his interaction with Sanatan Goswami. In his interaction with Sanatan Goswami, when Sanatan Goswami was in Vrindavan and he wanted to go to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, he decided, because he was so scholarly and so elevated in his learning, that he took the trouble to find out what path Lord Chaitanya followed as he went through the Jharkhand forest. So he went to, you know, with aborigine dwellers within the forest, place to place, met with them, heard from them what Lord Chaitanya did, what he said, and then, you know, place by place, just following the exact footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they would say he went that way, and he would follow and go to that next, like, forest village. In the course of his travel, Sanatan Goswami drank some water that was not good. And as a result of drinking that water, he contracted a disease. That the result of that disease was his body had oozing sores, skin that was broken, and this smelly, yucky pus was oozing from those sores. And there he was on his way to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya, thinking, "Yuck. And when Lord Chaitanya sees me, he's going to want to embrace me, because Lord Chaitanya had done that with him before. And when he embraces me, all this smelly, oozing stuff is going to smear all over his body, and I'll just make an offense. Maybe I shouldn't go to Puri, or I don't know what to do." And as he was going along, he got the idea that he would give up his body, go to Puri, see Lord Chaitanya, attend the Jagannath Rath Yatra, throw his body before the wheels of Jagannath, get crushed by the wheels, and die before Lord Jagannath in some kind of divine way. He didn't say anything. He just was thinking like that. Some days after his arrival, Lord Chaitanya confronted him and said, Sanatana Goswami, you don't have the right to give up this body in that way, put your body in front of the cart of Lord Jagannath. If it was that easy to go back to Godhead by that method, we would all do it at once. But it's not, that's not the means of going back to Godhead. And besides, you surrendered to me. So that body is my property. You can't destroy my property. You don't have the right to do that. Stop. So, under Lord Chaitanya's order, he couldn't. But he still had these awful itches and sores. So he consulted Jagatananda Pandit. What should I do? Jagatananda Pandit made a suggestion. Maybe you attend the Rath Yatra and then go back to Vrindavan. And that way you won't have to be feeling so uncomfortable about your condition and making offense to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, being omniscient, he knew that Jagatananda had given that advice, and he confronted Sanatana Goswami. Are you thinking to go back to Vrindavan? Did you hear this from Jagatananda Pandit? That impudent little boy, you're far his senior and he's giving you advice? What a nonsense. Don't go back to Vrindavan. So he can't stay and he can't go and he can't give up his life. And what to do? Then Lord Chaitanya again embraced him and his sores were all gone. Miracle cure. And Haridas Thakur was the witness of all of these things. And he said to Sanatana Goswami, just see, this was all orchestrated way back by Lord Chaitanya just so that you would have no shelter but him and his mercy. And he's given his full mercy to you, not just by curing your body, but making you exclusively dependent upon him. You're the greatest recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. No doubt about it. Sanatana Goswami was so expert, he turned it around and said, no, you are the greatest recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Because in you I see one who is expert at both prachar and achar. You know how to preach, how to express the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and you show by example. He came to deliver the holy name, and he's given you the title of Namacharya. You are the greatest recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And many others. Amoga with cholera, bringing back from the dead the son of Advaita Acharya just by placing his hand on his chest and saying, Gopal, rise. He was lifeless and he came back to life. These things are not ordinary. But it's not just that he brought people back to life from the dead or that he cured their disease, but superlative is his awakening, just like this verse of Rupa Goswami from Vidagdha Madhava. He awakened their love of God. Lord Chaitanya, along with his omniscience of knowing the heart of Sanatana Goswami, even he didn't disclose it, Lord Chaitanya exhibited that omniscience also in with Rupa Goswami. When Rupa Goswami, as Sanatana Goswami, was traveling from Vrindavan to go to Jagannath Puri, he didn't have a computer, didn't have a word processor of any kind, didn't even have a notepad. He just had a didactic memory. So in his mind, he was composing a drama. And the drama was about Krishna. And the drama was Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna out of Vrindavan. And when Rupa Goswami passed through a place that we also visited when we went to Puri, Satyabhamapur, it's a place where Satyabhama, appeared in Rupa Goswami's dream and instructed Rupa Goswami, don't make this one drama, make two dramas. Krishna in Vrindavan, that's Vidugdha Madhava. Krishna out of Vrindavan, Lalita Madhava. Divided into two. So he felt he had received an instruction from Satyabhama, although it was just in a dream. And then he continued to Jagannath Puri. And after some time in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya said the same thing that Satyabhama had said. Lord Chaitanya said, you should, the drama that you're composing, make it into two. The two are the pastimes of Krishna out of Vrindavan, pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami was on such a level of Krishna consciousness, he could immediately understand. Lord Chaitanya is omniscient. He is the same as the Lord that's situated within my heart, and he's present before me. In this role of his own devotee, but he's Krishna himself. So, here's another very nice pastime right on the wall over here. Lord Chaitanya passing through the Jharkhand forest, where he was not only inducing humans, devotees and non-devotees alike, to come to the stage of love of God, but he was inducing wild animals to roar the name of Krishna. When Shivananda Sen came in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after having lost the dog that had joined them in the course of their travel from West Bengal to Puri, he came into the presence of Lord Chaitanya and saw that Lord Chaitanya was having the dog chant. And he was throwing him coconut pulp, saying, chant Krishna. And the dog would chant, Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya would throw him coconut pulp and he would catch it. And then again, chant Krishna. Who can do these things? I mean, maybe something that looks like one of them if you're tricky or something, but again and again and again, the divinity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be understood in these three ways, through scriptural authority, through the symptoms of one who's not just mystical, but the personality of Godhead. In many cases, Lord Chaitanya showed his own form. We discussed this yesterday with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He showed his six-armed form. Very, very wonderful, beautiful form. Showing he's not only Krishna, but Krishna and Ramchandra and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's his identity. So wonderful. With Ramananda Roy and others, he also exhibited his spiritual form. After removing from their hearts any cloud of uncertainty or doubt or impurity, and then in final ultimate reciprocation, showing them his transcendental form of Krishna, or one of the forms of Krishna. With Ramananda Roy, is Radha and Krishna. And thus the understanding that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna in one transcendental form. So now I'll turn the microphone over to those of you that would like to volunteer some appreciation. You've been hearing and hearing, and now you express some appreciation of Lord Chaitanya's divinity. An exhibition by Lord Chaitanya that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any examples? You want to volunteer? Atmani Vedana, you would like to volunteer?
Okay, thank you. This isn't about in my personal experience. Is that sort of okay?
Okay, sure, that would be interesting.
Well, anyone who, well, first of all, anyone who tries, wants to give Krishna to other people, and if they do it over time and they gain the experience, then what makes it possible and what makes it successful, when it's successful, is when the person realizes that one's not the doer, that the only way anything can be done is through getting the Lord's mercy, particularly Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Because Lord Chaitanya is the inaugurator of the Sankirtana movement. So then one realizes that one's simply the instrument of the Lord. And in this way, one who is not even qualified as a devotee to give things that he may not even realize so deeply himself, but realizing that enables him to beg for the Lord's mercy. And then the Lord comes through the devotee's words, and he enters into people's hearts when he's preaching, when the devotee is preaching to. And in this way, one can have a mystical experience in that one is in awe listening to him, even himself speak, because he knows it's not I speaking. Rather, I'm praying to the Lord, and I'm getting to experience how the Lord is appearing here. And in this way, and if one continues like that, then one can feel humility all the time, because one gets to really a realization that I can't do anything, I'm just the Lord, and then one's always praying to experience the Lord's mercy and the opportunity to share Krishna with others. One sees as the gateway to one's realization of the Lord in one's life, because when one's not begging for the Lord's mercy, then one doesn't experience the Lord necessarily as much as one does, and one has this opportunity to give Krishna to others, because then one knows, I can't do this on my own, I really can't, and then the Lord can appear through one.
That's the first line of Rupa Goswami's verse. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. When that happens, then all kinds of things can happen that can't otherwise. Anyone else? Rupa?
I was actually remembering when you were narrating about the different examples where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his touch, he had aroused transcendental ecstatic symptoms of love in the heart of those who were, to begin with, inimical. And particularly the example that you cited is Amogha's example. That I feel is very, I find it very, very interesting, because just because Amogha was related to
Sarvabhauma
Bhattacharya, he received that mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Even though, like, he was so sinful that he was criticizing Lord Chaitanya. And so I find it very inspiring, because in my life also I am receiving that kind of mercy just by getting opportunity to get related to that.
Amogha had, what was it, cholera? And he was dying. Lord Chaitanya went to see him, placed his hand on his chest, and said, Amogha, you're in the body of a Brahmana, and a Brahmana is meant to be pure, not like this, contaminated with such envy of others. Amogha, give up your envy and awaken your natural consciousness. Just by the touch of Lord Chaitanya and his invoking words, the cholera was gone,
and his love of Krishna and his complete freedom from envy took place. Anyone else?
Last year, I was taking too many classes and we moved to a new house and now life was like full of anxiety. And we were lamenting, oh, our life was so nice when we were living in a temple and we just serve Lord Chaitanya. Now hardly we can just finish in our rounds. So one night I had a dream that I was going to a group of devotees to some temple. And like when I was kind of close to the temple, it looked like Amitakana temple. And when we were kind of approaching to see deities, I saw the deities of the temple and all of that. But then in the same time, I saw Lord Chaitanya was dancing. And then I quickly rushed to Lord Chaitanya. And I felt feeling no one else saw than I did. So I quickly rushed to Lord Chaitanya and put my head on his feet. And Lord Chaitanya was dancing. And then he just put his head down.
Wow.
And he said, I'll always be with you. And then I put my hands in the air. In my dream, I felt like my heart melted. I was so much in ecstasy. And like something that I never experienced in my life. And when I woke up, I was so happy. Like, it was something so, like, unusual. Such a happiness, such a happy. I felt like all my heart, all body melted.
Wow. Yes.
Until recently, I was not able to connect that Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna, like Krishna himself. But hearing the lectures, like I'm getting, like primarily taking trimester discussion, two scriptural references, like give me like full, I mean, clarity and everything. Those two examples are like one from Swarup Damodar, like he is Visakha himself, and he was saying that he is fully realized and he is giving that, he is telling that Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna. And the other example is Sarvam Bhattacharya, he is like materially so knowledge, so scholarly and everything, and like, you know, he was able to understand like with full clarity, like hearing from going through the process of hearing Vedanta Sutra explanations and all that. So both examples, like, I mean, giving me more clarity, conviction that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself.
Good. So understanding of the means of knowing the divinity of Lord Chaitanya and the authority of those who are evidently qualified, they are reaching that conclusion. It's worthy emphasizing. In Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's case, he had the opposite disposition. He wasn't like sentient. He was no way. And by association and purification, he became fully convinced. And in turn, convinced others.
You want to offer one? Yeah.
There's so many examples I'm thinking about, but I think I wanted to express my specific appreciation of what I've been doing in this past. Just like the gift that has come to give us, like being from the station, as you know, spending a lot of time wishing and love with them, and just through that process, becoming very aware of there's my position, really just like practically hopeless. But it just seems like it's impossible to actually attain love of God for lamenting that I have no taste for the world, even after feeling like that. But that access is so easily available, and all that needs is the faith in the holy name and Lord Chaitanya, and it's for us to have it and experience it. And otherwise, it's so rare, particularly that Lord Chaitanya has come to give us a lot of love up to the topmost. So I'm just very much appreciating that and wanting to really chant the holy better than the person. So I just ask for
I think sometimes I was feeling very dejected and Lord Chaitanya seems to be loved after everyone, and he is
touch, and then after some time they said, before they're going to get married and you
would like to invite you for the wedding. And then I was thinking, all this I was supposed to do and they are doing instead of me. And then I went and bought them beads and gave them each one Japa Mala, and they chanted one round, and I requested them to chant every day. They said, we'll keep in touch and we will definitely try to chant. And then I said, thank you very much for that. And then I thought, I don't know whether I did it right or, and then I was feeling a little bit of that I spoke too much like that. And then we went to the New Jersey program, and then we came back, and I was parking the car, and from nowhere this person calls me, and I looked around, who in New York, I don't know anyone here, and he was calling very loudly, Prabhu, Prabhu, like that. And I said, I looked at him and he said, do you recognize me? He said, I'm trying. And he said, it's me, it's me. I met you 3 years ago in Potomac Temple, and I really want some association. I live in Long Island, and please connect me with some congregation members here, like that he was asking. And then I was thinking, when I don't want to talk to people, somehow people come and talk to me. And then when I want to talk to people, then nobody is there. So it's not in my hands, like Atmanirbhar Prabhu was saying. It's all Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And the consciousness that I had yesterday was that the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is special. And all I have to do is receive it rather than trying to prove myself.
You can get that contact on anyway, you know.
I remember later, Guru Maharaj, but I haven't given it.
But you know, you have.
Yeah.
The one that lives in Long Island. Did you get this contact information?
I'll get it.
Okay. And maybe in Queens, maybe Manhattan or something, but you know, Canton is some sort of.
Okay. Maharaj, I have some more questions. When we take darshan of Radha Krishna, I feel like more in attraction towards Radharani, not so much for Krishna. And also in Srimad Bhagavatam, like, and the whole narration, there was not a mention of Radharani, like once only it was there. So I was kind of wanting to know, what's the science, like why? Like Sukadeva Goswami was not, mentioning about Radharani so much.
You know the answer, don't you? The standard answer that our acharyas give is Sukadeva Goswami was on such a platform of ecstatic love that if he even spoke the name of Radha, he would go so deeply into a state of ecstatic love, he wouldn't be able to complete narrating Srimad Bhagavatam. So he purposely did not mention her name. Rather, he indicates her indirectly. In one specific verse where the Krishna left the gopis, and there was one Krishna's footprints and the gopi's footprints, and then it just shows Krishna's footprints, so she's now on Krishna's shoulder and being carried by Krishna, and so how fortunate is she who is the best of the worshippers of Krishna, Aradhika Sarvesha. So indicating her indirectly, this should be Goswami's best. Radharani is mentioned in other Puranas where Radha Krishna's pastimes are described, but they weren't being narrated by Sukadeva Goswami, who felt that they lost it. And he didn't even mention her name. Okay. Thank you all for coming this morning. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Govinda Dev ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Govardhan ki jai.
Thank you.